Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father, through Jesus Christ his Son, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Me to the Gospel according to Mark, the 15th chapter, and we will read verses 15 through 25. After which we will confess our holy, undoubted Catholic Christian faith with the words of the 12 articles. And then please join me in singing 158, verses 4 through 6. But first we open Scripture and we turn to the Gospel according to Mark, the 15th chapter, starting at verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one, Simon, a Cyrenian who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lot upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Thus far God's holy, infallible, and precious word. Please join me in confessing our Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. After we hear God's word, we will sing in our Psalter books number 183, verses 2 and 3. Our text for this evening is found in the passage that we read together, Mark chapter 15, verse 21. Mark 15, 21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Our theme for this evening is a Cyrenian brought under Christ's cross. We'll see three thoughts. First of all, a resisting Simon. Secondly, a gospel lesson. And thirdly, a missionary calling. A Cyrenian brought under Christ's cross. A resisting Simon, a gospel lesson, and a missionary calling. First then, a resisting Simon. Our text this evening, beloved, brings us to a scene from which we would be tempted to turn away. There's a band of Roman soldiers who have been charged today to take three convicted criminals, two thieves, and Jesus, and to put them to death. We can figure out that it's about 8 o'clock in the morning, or thereabouts, on the day in which the Passover celebration would begin. Indeed, there were festivities already the whole week long, but the Jews were in a hurry to get this done before the official Passover celebration would begin. And so this is happening on the day prior to the evening in which many would have their official Passover celebration. And Pilate had concluded the trial. He had tried to release Jesus, but in the end he had washed his hands and delivered Jesus up to be crucified. The soldiers had taken Jesus and mocked him. They had plaited a crown of thorns and pressed it down on his head. They had spat upon him and they had smitten him with a reed. And then after they were done with this mocking and this show, then they took all this regalia, all this purple and the like from Jesus, and they were leading him away. And if you look at the Gospel according to John 19, verse 17, it tells us that Jesus was bearing his cross. And he, bearing his cross, went forth, we read. So this heavy wooden beam, perhaps one large beam or else already the two beams put together, was placed there on the shoulder of Jesus. And he left the hall of Pilate, and he would go a few streets of the city until he would go through a gate and then outside the city. What a scene this must have been. I picture the air still semi-cool on this spring day. The sun still rising on the horizon, about 8 o'clock in the morning. Here goes this band of soldiers and these three criminals. The dust is being kicked up in the air. There is dirt. There is blood. There is metal flashing around in the sunshine on the heads of these soldiers and the spears these soldiers were undoubtedly carrying. It was a scene of violence, a scene of sin, and a scene of death. Everyone in this company is heading towards death. Three of them will die. Actually, two of them will die. And one will lay down his life. And the rest of them, these Roman soldiers, they will ensure that each one of them will die. Now the cross, you probably know, was a death that was most painful. It was the preferred punishment of the Romans. They used it to punish slaves for rebelling against their master. And they would use it for other crimes as well, so that everyone would know this fearful end would come upon you if you disobeyed the Roman government. But not only was this a harsh punishment from the Romans, but we know too that the Lord had spoken about this death in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 21 verse 22 says that he that is hanged from a tree is accursed of God. Well, there go these three crosses being carried out of the city. And all of a sudden the company comes to a stop. We're not told exactly why. Is it that Jesus was too weak to go on carrying his cross? We don't know. Did the soldiers perhaps think that it was taking too long or going to take too long? One thing is clear. The soldiers stop the band and they scan the horizon. Someone else is going to have to carry this cross. But who will do it? Who will carry this cross, young people and children? Will one of the Romans carry it? No, that's out of the question. Bear a criminal's cross? How about one of the Jewish leaders? No, This would render them unclean and unfit for the Passover. Not at all. Is there any compassionate bystander who pities the Lord Jesus and wants to help? Is there someone like that Good Samaritan of whom Jesus had spoken just weeks ago, who stopped and had mercy on a man half dead? Where is the Good Samaritan now? Or how about the disciples? Peter, where are you? Did you not say just last night, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death? Or Thomas, who had said, let us also go that we may die with him. But no, there are no disciples here. All the 12, except for John perhaps, have dispersed, and none of the disciples will carry the cross. Jesus could have related to what the psalmist says in Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. At that very moment, a man passes by. That's what Mark says. He happens to pass by. Just like you and I, we pass by a thousand things every day, don't we? We see them out of the corner of our eyes as we're going to work or going about our business. We're just passing by. So too Simon, on this very day, he was passing by. He was coming from the opposite direction. This company is leaving the city, and he is coming towards the city. And he must have seen them in the distance, coming out of the city. First, it must have been somewhat of a lot of commotion, a lot of dust being kicked up in the air, a lot of flashing metal, but sooner or later he would have seen, oh, this is an execution band. Then he would have spotted the three crosses. These men are going to be crucified on the eve of the Passover. What a sorry sight. But after all, the Romans ruled with an iron fist, and Simon, of course, had no knowledge of the innocence or the guilt of any involved, most likely, and so he would have probably done what each and every one of us would have done on that day, and that is to go with a wide circle around what is happening. Crosses. Who wants to be near a cross? These cruel instruments of death. Now, we're not told a lot about this bypasser, but we know three things about him. First of all, we know his name. It's Simon, or Simeon, which is the same name. It means God hears. It's a Jewish name. And we know this man's name. Don't you think that's remarkable? I mean, it could have just simply said there was a man who happened to be going that way, and they compelled him to bear the cross of Jesus, and without stating his name. But no, they give his name. It's Simon. And in fact, we know more than just his name. We know the name of his children. Our text passage says that this Simon was the father of Rufus and Alexander. Now, what do you think about that? Isn't that curious? That the names of his children are right in that verse. What do you make of that? It's almost as if he comes on the scene as one, just a bystander, a bypasser. He comes anonymously, but he won't leave anonymously. His name is written down. His name's been recorded for you and for me. It's Simon, the father of Rufus and Alexander. That's the first thing we know about him. The second thing we know about him is that he was a foreigner from Cyrene. He's called a Cyrenian. Now, Cyrene was a place in North Africa, west of Egypt, in present-day Libya. In North Africa there. And as a Cyrenian, he would have been a Gentile from the descendants of Ham. Very likely he would have had dark skin and he would have stood out from the crowd. One of the Gentiles. And very likely from his name, Simon or Simeon, he was a proselyte. That means he had begun to follow the God whom the Jews worshipped. Now we don't know if he was just simply coming up for this Passover and that he was a Cyrenian and just on the occasion of this Passover he happened to be traveling. What's more likely is that he had moved to Jerusalem and settled there. We learn in Acts chapter 6, verse 9, that there was a synagogue of Cyrenians in Jerusalem. And what that means was people who had a Cyrenian background or ethnicity and spoke Cyrenian, whatever it was, they would worship together in this synagogue. And maybe Simon was a proselyte and worshiped God at the synagogue. We can't be sure. But it's interesting that there was that synagogue in Jerusalem at this exact time. At any rate, he's a foreigner. He's outside of the covenants of grace. He's a stranger to the promises. He is a Cyrenian, a descendant of Ham. And the third thing we're told about this Simon is that he was coming up from the country. Now, most commentators believe that he actually had been working there, because it actually means he was coming up from the fields. He must have been laboring there in the fields. Maybe if he was this Cyrenian who had settled there in Jerusalem, maybe he was a day laborer or he had a small plot of land there outside the city and he had gone to check on his land, maybe work it. I mean, this is springtime. There's a lot of work to be done in the land. And he had worked there in the sweat of his brow for a few hours in the early morning, as they would often do. And then he was making his way back to the city, perhaps in time to make some preparations for the Passover. We don't know exactly what his purpose was. We know he was coming out of the fields. But whatever his purpose was, God had his purpose. All our steps are directed by the Lord, aren't they? And even if Simon is here in his own mind for one thing, God has brought him to this time, to this moment, for a specific task and a specific purpose. The Roman soldiers catch eye. Their eye lands on this Simon, the Cyrenian. And whether it was his skin color or something else about him, they fix on him. And they say, you carry that cross. Simon doesn't want to. We read, they compelled him. And what that means is that they used force. They were drafting him. And the Roman government could do this. If they needed someone and you happened to be there and they happened to need you, they could take you against your will and they could force you to do whatever it is that they were needing you to do. It was sort of like what we would call a draft. We don't have one in this country and we haven't had one a long time in the country south of us, but you know what a draft is. When the government says you're going to fight, if you resist, if you run away or whatever, you will be arrested. And so Simon is compelled. And if you would read the Luke passage, the parallel passage, it actually says that they had to physically take him and force him and constrain him. And what the idea is there is that Simon was resisting it. No, I don't want this. Not me. Not now. You can feel this, can't you? You and I would have been very similar. To come underneath of a heavy, cursed, vile cross. And that while you're just a bystander. Just a passerby. What have I done to deserve this? You can hear Simon asking this. No.
Not me. Not now. If he was coming to celebrate the Passover, this would have been terrible because he would have been unclean. He would have come into contact not only with blood, very likely dripping from this cross, but he would have been touching this cross. He couldn't celebrate the Passover under these circumstances. What would his wife say? What would Rufus and Alexander, his children, who were undoubtedly looking forward to this Passover, what would he have to say to explain this? No. Every fiber in Simon's being resists this. We don't know if he saw Jesus or took the time to look at Jesus. You figure he must have. I mean, Jesus was carrying this cross. He was right there. And Simon was going to take over this cross. But you know, even if he had seen Jesus and looked at him, you know what the prophet Isaiah says? There was no beauty. That if we should behold him, that we would desire him. And so there is nothing desirable about Jesus to Simon here on all appearances. And so Simon resists it. He wants to run away. He thinks he's at the wrong place at the wrong time. But the Romans do not take no for an answer. They take Simon, they press him down, and they put this cross on his shoulder, and he has no choice. He must carry this cross. Dear congregation, do you see how Simon really, in essence, adds to the suffering of the Lord Jesus? Simon adds to the suffering of the Lord Jesus. You know, just days before, when the people were eager to crown Christ king, do you remember what the people had done? They had taken their clothes and they had made a paved road of clothes for Jesus. Nothing was too much. They would just take off their clothes and lay them out. Or think of this man who gave Jesus his donkey to ride upon. It wasn't too much. Or the upper room. Jesus needed an upper room. And he sent some disciples and he said, tell them, the master hath need of this upper room. And he got all these things. But now, in his suffering, in his misery, there is none who stands by him, none who will carry his cross. And Simon, in effect, is adding to the suffering of Jesus by refusing and rejecting Jesus and his cross. And that while Jesus, all his life long, all his ministry long, what had he done? He bore our burdens. He carried our sorrows. If there was someone unclean who needed Jesus and needed to be healed by Jesus, Jesus laid his hands upon him. And touched him. He bore our grief and carried our sorrows. And remember what he had said. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. He took everyone else's burdens. And now here, on his way to the cross, there's no one who willingly takes Jesus' burden. Dear congregation, do you think you would have been any different than Simon that day? Do you think your heart would have been any more receptive and open to carrying this cross? What do you do when God crosses your path, even just in providence? When you start out your day and all of a sudden, as you're passing by many different things, all of a sudden, through an accident, or through a phone call, or through a doctor's report, everything changes in a moment. When you had planned to go this way, and God makes you go this way, what happens? Are you willing to carry the cross just like that? Or are you like me? You stand back and you say what Simon must have said as well. This seems all wrong. Why me? Why now? And that's just in providence. That's just in God's dealings in our life, the things that He determines to put upon us. But how about the cross, the curse, the shame? Are we so willing to bear that? I mean, by nature. Indeed, God teaches His people to do that, to take up the cross of Christ and their own cross and to bear it, following after Jesus. But by nature, honestly, would you have done anything different than Simon? This then is our first point, a resisting Simon. But secondly, a gospel lesson. A gospel lesson. The procession starts up again. Now Simon is carrying this cross. We don't know how long it would have lasted from the place and from what we can reconstruct about the distance from the gate to the place where Christ was crucified, etc. It was probably 20 minutes, at most 30 minutes, in which Simon was carrying this cross. There he was, one of three men carrying a cross. The other two, convicted murderers, thieves, malefactors, and Simon. Now Simon is among this crowd that he saw beforehand with all the dust and the dirt and the blood and the metal and the screaming and the abuse and the violence. Now he's right there among them. And we don't know all that was going on in Simon's mind or heart. But let's just take a step back and see what this event has to teach us. You know, in a certain sense, you can say these 20 minutes of Simon carrying this cross, it's like a sermon. And if Simon's ears were open and his heart was open, he could have learned very important things. A sermon with three points. Think of it this way. First of all, Simon, here is the curse. Simon, here is the curse. This cross that you're carrying, Simon, this is the curse that every one of us deserves because of our sin. Our sin in Adam, our sin by ourselves, day in, day out, our coming short of the glory of God deserves this, Simon. Are you asking, I don't deserve this, do I? Well, we understand what you're saying, Simon, but from a certain angle, yes, this is what you and what I deserve by our sins. We have eaten from the tree of which God said, thou shalt not eat thereof. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And because of that, Simon, you and I deserve this curse. Here it is. Here's the curse. You know, if only Simon would come underneath us and acknowledge it and say, yea, Lord, thou art clear when thou judgest. Thou art right when thou judgest me. It's like the malefactor on the cross next to Jesus. He later on, he learned this very thing. Here he is on the cross. And what does he say? He says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. You know, this is a lesson that Simon needed to learn. And it's a lesson that we need to learn as well, as difficult as it is for us to think about. God would do no injustice if this cross that Simon is carrying, if he would put it on any and every one of us, and we would have to carry it. Here is the curse, Simon. But the second point of this sermon is, Simon, here is mercy. Simon, though you are carrying this cross for 20 minutes, after 20 minutes, this cross will be taken from you. Do you see how that is mercy, Simon? Do you see how there's another one here? Yes, he's walking ahead of you and you are following behind with this cross. But in 20 minutes, he is going to take that cross. And Simon, he's going to take it willingly. No Roman will have to compel him. No Roman soldier will have to pin him down. No, he said already in the council of peace to his father, he said, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me." He came to do it willingly. And Simon, this cross that you so resist, do you realize that there is nothing more blessed in all the world than this? You know, Simon, you are from the nations. You're one of the descendants of Ham. But do you know that this cross, though it is a curse, is going to bring blessing not only to the Jews, but also to the nations? Here is mercy, Simon. Look at this Christ who is willing to bear this cross. Here is mercy. And one thing we can learn about Simon carrying this cross, if we compare Luke, while Simon is carrying the cross and Jesus is going up ahead of him, there are those women, remember? Those women who come behind and they're wailing and they're weeping. Do you remember what Jesus says to them? He says, "Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." What a riddle that must have been to Simon. Here is this man. He says, "Don't cry for me. Don't weep for me." What's the message there? The message is, Simon, don't weep for me. This is something I've come to do. And the moment is now. And I will gladly carry this cross. I will gladly be nailed to this cross. Don't weep for me. This is what I have come to do. So this is the second point. First of all, here is the curse, Simon. Secondly, here is mercy, Simon. But thirdly and lastly, Simon, here is your substitute. Simon, here is your substitute. Luke 23, verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." There they crucified him. That's Jesus. You know, the moment came when Simon could feel that curse, that cross coming off of his shoulders, and someone else taking his place there on the cross. And we don't have any record of Jesus saying anything to Simon. But you know, those actions, they speak louder than words. Do you know what they're saying? They're saying this, "Simon, you can go now. Simon, you're not compelled to stay. Yes, you were compelled to taste that cross for 20 minutes on your shoulder. But Simon, you're not compelled to stay. You can go now. I will take the cross. I have come to be a substitute. Simon, you can go now." Do you sense the message, this sermon really is preaching to Simon? We don't know if it sinks into his mind at all, into his heart at all. But I ask you, does it sink into your mind and into your heart? Because Simon had 20 minutes, but you've had much more, haven't you? Sabbath after Sabbath, year in, year out, most of you from your youngest years, you've heard about the curse, yes. But you've also heard about mercy, and you've heard about the substitute, and you've heard about, "Take me and let these go their way." Has it sunk into your soul? Has this cross become altogether lovely to you? Do you need this cross? Do you agree with this cross? And do you embrace the mercy offered in this cross? What a Savior. What a substitute. What a message of hope. We don't know if Simon lingered by the cross. You know, part of me would almost be inclined to say he must have. You know, after 20 minutes of this, you get to the cross and here's this man who willingly goes to the cross and who said, "Weep not for me." What would you have done? Would you have stayed there and watched this sign of superscription? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Would you stay just to hear Jesus say those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Part of me thinks that Simon must have stayed, but another part of me thinks he would have rushed away from the scene as quickly as possible. I mean, can't you understand that as well? I mean, these 20 minutes, what has happened here? And now he has to go home to meet his wife and his children and tell them, "No Passover this year." Well, we don't know what Simon did. But what we do know is that the Lord blessed this gospel lesson at some point in Simon's life, as we will see in our third point, a missionary family. The Holy Spirit has seen fit to give us a number of dots in the sacred scriptures that we can connect and we can learn what happened to Simon after this day. The first I already mentioned, and that is that Simon's sons, Rufus and Alexander, came to be known in the early church as important Christian leaders. Rufus and Alexander. And that's why Mark mentions them. They would have been well known to the readers of the gospel according to Mark. And what Mark is saying is he's saying, you see that Simon carrying that cross? That was the father of Rufus and Alexander, these men whom you know, you've probably met them. Here's his father carrying this cross. And we know that Rufus and Alexander were important leaders in the early Christian church, carrying the gospel through different lands and countries. Rufus probably ended up in Rome, at least. And that's our second dot that we can connect here. Paul mentions Rufus and his mother in Romans 16, verse 13. This is what he says. "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine." What Paul is saying there, and we know this is the same Rufus, at least scholars universally agree that it is. We learn here that Simon's wife became converted. She was changed, and Paul even calls her his mother, his spiritual mother. He looked up to Simon's wife, to Rufus's mother. And so we know that Rufus became a Christian, Alexander became a Christian, their mother became a Christian. But now how about Simon? Well, Scripture is not silent about this either. In Acts chapter 11, verse 20, we read that some men from Cyrene went to preach the gospel in Antioch, in the north there, among the Gentiles. Some men from Cyrene. And in Acts 13, verse 1, this is what we read. We read of Simeon or Simon Niger. Simeon or Simon Niger. And that means black man or dark-skinned man. Simeon or Simon, the dark-skinned man from Cyrene, together with Lucius from Cyrene. This is the same Simon who back then carried Jesus' cross and resisted it with every fiber in his being. But here later on, a few decades later, you know, he's not carrying the cross literally, but he's carrying the gospel of the cross to foreign lands and to foreign nations. And his whole family has become a missionary family. Rufus, Alexander, his wife, and Simon have been gained by the cross of Christ for the glory of Christ. Now, we don't know exactly how the Lord did this. He hasn't chosen to reveal that. Did it happen that very day as he lingered there by the cross? We don't know. Did it happen perhaps on the day of Pentecost? There are some that believe that that's what happened, because in Acts chapter 2, we read that Cyrenians were there when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And they too said that they heard the wonderful deeds of the Lord, each in their own language. Was Simon there? Was Simon there when the Holy Spirit was poured out and when people were cut to the heart and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And when they were baptized together with their children, "The promise is unto you and to your children." Was Simon there with Rufus and Alexander? We don't know. But what we do know is God irresistibly won Simon over. Thank God for irresistible grace. Yes, Simon resisted the cross, but in the end, he could not resist the Lord and his grace. The most important thing is not how the Lord works his grace in our hearts. The most important thing is that he does it, that he overcomes all our resistance, that he becomes too strong for us, that the cross, instead of becoming something to resist and to push away, becomes something that we love and live for. I ask you, has the Lord made this cross of Jesus Christ attractive to you by his Holy Spirit? You know, maybe some here, you were compelled to be here tonight. Maybe your parents forced you to be here. And the gospel of the cross is here. And perhaps everything in you resists that, you push it away from yourself. This cross, this bloodied cross of Jesus, what relevance does it have to me? I want to live my life. Well, you know what? I have hope for you. Because Simon of Cyrene, he did the exact same thing. He resisted it with every fiber in his being. If it were up to Simon, he would have had nothing to do ever with the cross of Christ. But the Lord melted his heart, and he can do the same to you. And the cross of Christ, which perhaps you are now rejecting, you know, you could turn into a missionary. And perhaps your whole family, like Simon, into a missionary's family, bringing the gospel of the glorious cross of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. You know, I don't think it was weakness in Jesus that made him give up that cross. Jesus knew all things. Jesus, who knew Nathanael under the fig tree before he even saw him, wouldn't he have known Simon, Niger, Simon of Cyrene? Don't you think Jesus Christ was wanting to win over this convert from Ham? It's very interesting, but on the day of Christ's death, there were three men converted. One was from Ham, the Cyrenian, if we're correct about that. The other was from Shem, the malefactor on the cross, very likely a Jew. He cried in a very Jewish way, "Lord, remember me when thou art come into thy kingdom." He would have been from Shem. And how about Japheth? Well, do you remember that Roman centurion who looked at Jesus when he died? And he cried out, "Surely this man was God's son." Jesus, on the day of his death, he drew a son of Ham, a son of Japheth, and a son of Shem to himself. And the prophet said it, He shall sprinkle many nations. You know, the physical blood of Jesus probably dripped on Simon. But you know what was more important than that? It was Christ's blood coming upon his conscience through the Spirit's work, giving him a conscience void of offense, applying it to his soul so that he received peace that abides and pardon forevermore. Jesus Christ was winning over a convert from him, and he is still doing it today. Simon of Cyrene would be a missionary to go forth to the ends of the earth together with his whole family and bring the gospel to Gentiles in Antioch and in Rome. In fact, the Romans were the ones who were crucifying Jesus. And Jesus was gathering a man from Ham. And his son Rufus would end up in Rome, right there near the palace of Caesar. Oh, the might of Jesus Christ. Oh, the grace of Jesus Christ. Oh, the victorious cross of Jesus Christ. When Simon would have looked back on this day, don't you think from a certain angle it would have been a day of disgrace? How disgraceful that he had resisted the cross. And yet what a day of grace for Simon and for his family. How willing Christ was to save to the uttermost even Simon, who was resisting his cross. You know, congregation, where sin abounds, grace does the more abound. I ask you in closing, has the cross of Christ won you over? Has it become your all and an all? Do you love this one who bled and died to save sinners such as you? Do you say with the Apostle Paul, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, I will boast in nothing else save in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Congregation, we don't know each other well, but you've been in the country, haven't you? This past week, working in the field, you could say, and here you've come up from the country and you're confronted with the cross of Christ. Will you resist it? Will you resist it? Or will you say, no, the cross of Christ, I will take it. I will take hold of it by faith. I will bear this cross. I will bear it forth in my family, in my community, and as the Lord enables, beyond that as well. I will not only bear this cross, I will cling to the old rugged cross because of the Savior on it. And I will boast in nothing else save in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whereby the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. May God give it to His praise and to His glory forevermore. Amen. Let's give thanks and pray. O Almighty Lord Jesus Christ, now at Thy Father's right hand, we adore Thy great mercy, that whereas all of us by nature would have resisted Thee and resisted Thy cross so entirely and vehemently like Simon did, yet Thou didst not return to heaven, but Thou didst come to willingly lay down Thy life a ransom for many. Lord, we pray Thee that Thou wouldst become too strong for us once more, that Thy blood would drip in the midst of this congregation, and that Thy cross would be altogether lovely to Thy people in a fresh way, and to all those who have never come under the cross of Jesus Christ to bow before Him, that they would capitulate and that they would come under King Jesus. Lord, work by Thy Holy Spirit, we pray, and raise up from the midst of this congregation many who would bring the gospel of the cross far and wide. Lord, save many missionary families and grant that the good news of Jesus Christ would go forth conquering and to conquer. Lord, do pardon all our many sins. Blot them out through thy blood, Lord Jesus, shed on Calvary's top. And go with us into this week. May the blood of Jesus Christ be precious unto us every day, every hour. And may we make mention of thy righteousness, Lord Jesus, and thine only, as thou dost give opportunity. Hasten the day, Lord, when faith shall be sight. Hasten the day when the nation shall come to own thee as Lord of all. And grant in the meantime encouragement to all thy faithful missionaries as they bring the gospel of the cross. May they cleave to it, and we with them. And to thee shall be all the praise. In Jesus' name alone we ask this, in the pardon of every sin. Amen. Go to your homes with praying hearts and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.